what, guys? It's time to embrace the horror. Look, we got front row tickets to the end of the earth.
Change has come to America.
The truth out there.
Some alien race to come down and threaten us.
The military-industrial complex.
Highly funded yet unofficial government agency.
I've now been in 57 states.
Somewhere in the heartland of America, the third bunker on the left. This is PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, everybody, and welcome to Thursday, July the 2nd of 2009, our last show for the week.
That's right.
And our last one before Monday, because there's a long weekend coming up. Yay!
Happy Independence Day to you and to you in Canada. It is also Independence Day weekend there. And so we're celebrating along with our northern neighbors. And soon we'll just all be celebrating together as the North American Union makes us all one nation under the non-denominational deity of your choice.
And by the way, speaking of Canada, in your face, Canada!
That's right.
Because we're no longer than ever the very bottom of the ranking.
That's
when it
right.
comes to the...
action on climate change, yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, new report.
You and I actually really...
Give a rip. So, yeah, according to a new report, among the G8 nations, the eight wealthiest nations in the world, Germany is number one in climate change efforts, and the United States had been... last, eighth out of eight in terms of our efforts to clean up our carbon footprints. And somehow,
because Germany's a lot smaller than we are.
They are a lot smaller. They're packed more tightly together. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, World Wildlife Fund, you know, that's the group.
They're
that was,
all dressed in black.
wasn't it one of the princes in the UK, one member of the royal family who's involved with the World Wildlife Fund that said if he had his druthers, he'd like to come back as a virus.
Oh, that's
virus.
Prince Philip.
Prince Philip, who'd come back to Earth, you know, if he was, what's the word I'm looking for? Reincarnated. He'd want to be reincarnated as a deadly virus that would wipe out like 90% of the world's population. So, thank you.
Does he say that as he goes through the line shaking hands?
Yeah.
Hi, how are you today? Love to kill you. Love to kill you.
Yeah. So anyway, Canada apparently now is emitting 26% more greenhouse gas emissions than it was in 1990. So take that, Canada.
Well, by the way, in case you're wondering why we opened up with that lovely line from Armageddon.
Yeah, we're looking ahead to 2012, as we've been talking about, and talking about the meme that's being propagated through the media. Sony Pictures, which produced the amazingly wonderful Devil's Tomb.
Scientifically accurate.
Yeah, Devil's Tomb.
I thought you were going to go for the day after tomorrow. Scientifically accurate day after tomorrow.
Interestingly enough, directed by the fellow who directed Day After Tomorrow and Independence Day, another, you know, aliens descending. It comes the movie 2012, which stars John Cusack, Woody Harrelson, Danny Glover, and a number of others. Interestingly, there's a viral marketing campaign that's underway featuring Woody Harrelson as a kind of an eccentric internet radio host who drives around in a Winnebago.
Oh, who would have written a character like that several years ago?
Yeah, of course, that's very much like Barney Eisen, who appears in the Armageddon Strain and who you graciously allowed me to borrow for the God Conspiracy. Although Barney Eisen has a different worldview, I suspect, than this character, Charlie Frost.
I'm quite sure that's true.
Yeah, but we'll put links to the videos. They're entertaining, but the meme continues that 2012 is something apocalyptic. You know, something apocalyptic this way comes.
I know.
And
it's just like in Doctor Who. It's the Cassandra's cult of the repeated meme.
That's right. the cult of the repeated meme.
Uh-huh.
Great phrase. So watch for that. Sony Pictures will be putting that out later this year, coming in November. That may be a film that we actually watch in the theaters, which we don't usually do.
The last time we went to a theater was to see 300.
That's right. We did. I'd almost forgotten about 300.
We don't go very often. It has to be a film that really is only best viewed in the theater. If we can get by with watching it on a small screen, we will.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to pay the money. So
that's true. And besides, you can't stop the big screen picture when you need to go get more snacks. So
exactly.
And that's important when you're watching a film.
And they frown on bringing in big trailer loads of snacks with
right, you. Or dachshunds. So that's a big problem for
well,
us.
Well, it
so,
is. Yeah. It is. And you can have them here.
So anyway, so we got 2012 coming with, you know, gloom, doom, and destruction, according to the movie here. And again, we'll put links in the show notes at PIDradio.com because if nothing else, it'll be like The Day After Tomorrow. It's worth watching to see these grand CGI panoramic displays of mass destruction.
Well, and absolutely go and watch the trailer because it – here's what I get when I watch things like that. It was one of the reasons that I have watched The Day After Tomorrow over and over again because it gives you a little bit of an idea of what will be going on during that final week, Daniel's final week, what many people refer to as the tribulation period. Mm-hmm. It's that final 7 weeks, 7 years before Jesus returns to set up his millennial kingdom. And all hell breaks loose.
Literally.
Literally. Yeah. And for one thing, one of the many, many things that happens with those trumpet and bowl judgments is that hailstones that weigh about 100 pounds apiece start hitting. And so when you see these CGI events and can actually have a movie screen filled with it, it really hits home with you. It
gives you an idea of the scope of what's going to be happening.
Well, he
Sam
doesn't like
takes,
that.
He takes his home yard security seriously.
He does. I have to tell you, speaking of Sam, every evening now, because we have gotten into a habit, every evening now, Sam is very clear about telling us what he wants. And he is very, very punctual. Mm-hmm. You could set your watch by Sam. Well, every evening about the time that we're supposed to be doing our show, he literally walks into our office, the bunker, and goes, sort of stares at us, comes back to the doorway, stares again, like, excuse me, it's showtime.
Yeah, get
in here.
Let's go.
And then he comes in and gets into his bed because he's got a bed in here as well as one in the living room. So, and every bed in the house is his, as far as he's concerned. You never know where Sam's going to be in the morning when you wake up.
That's true. It's a game. You look for suspicious lumps on the beds and then listen carefully. And if you can hear.
And in the chairs, because if you sit down without looking, he gets mad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you just listen for a minute, though. You can usually tell just by listening if you hear. That's the kind of the sound he makes when he's sleeping. It's a dachshund
thing. It's like
thing.
A little trombone sound. It's so cute. But we've got the story. It's back to 2012. We've got a story on that at PID News. By the way, because we are taking Friday, Saturday, and Sunday as just some quiet time, you may not see fresh stories written by either Derek or myself at PID News, but the news feed is always there. So the headlines are constantly updated on that news feed. And so please keep going there. And back to you.
Yeah, peeringintodarkness.com. Sharon did a great job with the RSS feeds, incorporating it all into a, you know, just a one-stop shop for news. And we do try to post. I've been lax lately in posting original content, but Sharon always does and highlights stories that are up there. So, but again, with the RSS feeds constantly refreshing, even if we're not posting new stuff, there's always new stuff there. And
frankly, that's where I go for my news. Mm-hmm, I just look at all of those RSS feeds. And I'll pick out something, and that's what I write about.
It's really you're right. It's really handy. So, something we've talked about throughout the years. We can say that now. We've been on doing four plus years of this podcast.
Started in 2005, March of 2005.
So, over the last 4 years.
Year.
Wow, we've talked about. Attempts by the world's governments and intelligence services to try to control the minds of people, whether through large means, you know, the memes that are propagated through the media, like Iran is an evil government that needs to come down, and these people, you know, this is a grassroots protest in the streets here. No CIA involvement here, control that way through control of the media, but then also on an individual basis by creating agents who will be active during what Rustizdar calls the Black Awakening, sort of the demonically infused Manchurian candidates, and other means. There was a story out about a year ago about how technology has now been developed that allows sound to be broadcast remotely inside someone's head. It will actually beam the sound waves in a tightly focused beam so that it resonates inside your skull and sounds like a voice inside your head.
Mm-hmm. That was tested in New York a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that is creepy. But now, a case similar to that has actually gone to court in Kansas. A gentleman who accused his former business partner of blasting him with mind-altering radio, or rather electromagnetic radiation, received a was actually on the winning side of a judgment by a court in, Sedgwick County, Kansas. This fellow said that
it's always Kansas.
Yeah, it is interesting. Yeah. Answer. Said that his former partner had threatened him with jolts of radiation, and after the business deal went bad, and then later the complainant said he began feeling electric shock sensations, hearing electronically generated tones, and getting popping and ringing sounds in his ears. So December 30th of 2008, the court ruled an order of protection banning his ex-partner from using electronic means to further harass the plaintiff. So apparently the court was persuaded by the evidence presented by the plaintiff in this case.
Was he beaming digital television at him?
Who knows? Could have been a specially modified microwave oven for all I know. But apparently the court took it seriously enough to rule in the plaintiff's favor. Now, there's a fellow who I actually interviewed on the radio.
I remember
In Columbia. Yeah, Representative Jim Guest. He's a member of the Missouri State Legislature, District 5 in the state of Missouri. And he actually hosts an internet radio show of his own. He's proposed legislation in the state of Missouri that would ban, that would outlaw the forced implantation of RFID chips. So, you know, leave it to Missouri. I know the state of Missouri caught a lot of grief earlier this year for the report that came out from that Missouri Intelligence Analysis Center.
Mm-hmm. And it caught grief during the campaign for Obama's use of law enforcement.
Right. But there are a lot of freedom-loving folk out in that part of the country. I find it hard to believe that the rank and file, that the average folk living out there in Missouri, you know, outside of the cities, I mean, Kansas City and St. Louis, they, you know, proper, they don't count. The actual state of Missouri would really cotton to that kind of thing, mm-hmm. you know. So it'll be just a little interesting side note in the ongoing battle to maintain human freedom from the powers that be that would like to find ways to control us and keep us mollified.
Well, before you and I went on the air this evening, before Sam reminded us that it was time,
yes.
he's coming back, if you hear the jingle of his collar, from his patrol at the front door telling someone off. Before we started the show, you were telling me about this story, mm-hmm. and I was telling you that I recently have been experiencing tones in my head.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I know that many of you listening have probably at some time or another had a little tone go off in your head. And my understanding is that when you have certain cells within your inner ear,
right.
part of your hearing mm-hmm. apparatus, when some of those cells die, you will hear this tiny little tone as it dies off.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what this is, because I have experienced those, and they start out sort of loud, and then they fade away within a matter of seconds. These tones are in different pitches, and no matter how I turn my head, so it's not lights, no matter how I turn my head, mm-hmm. we're sitting in the dark often when this happens, I can still hear it, and sometimes they'll continue for minutes and as long mm. as 5 or 10 minutes, and I'll just sit there and just think, oh, well, you know, it's another tone in my head. I hear them all the time lately.
Huh. Hmm. And
occasionally I even ask you, are you hearing this? And I'll hum the tone to you.
And usually the answer is no.
I know.
But I think part of that is just my ears are not what they used to be. I spent a number of years as a nighttime top 40 disc jockey professionally, you know, Peoria, Philadelphia, Little Rock, St. Louis. And so I was beaming sounds into my own head at rather high volume, and so I've got tinnitus.
I used to be this front singer in a rock and roll band.
Well, so both of us have got tinnitus that.
But you know,
but
I don't.
This is different.
This
from
is
tinnitus.
Something you have all the time,
right?
I ordinarily have really good hearing,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of weird when I hear those sounds.
I used to have really good hearing when I was a kid. We'd go into the Sears store near our home in Chicago, and it would really bother me. We'd go into the store, and I would just cringe because there was this high-pitched squeal that was about as annoying as fingernails on chalkboard, mm-hmm. you know, far away. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't. But there's this high-pitched tone. It's really bothering me. And my you know, parents thought I was making it up until they went and asked a store manager. And they said, yeah, that's a security system we have. Mm-hmm. Most people can't hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I doubt I could hear that anymore. But at least when I was, you know, on the low side of 10, I could hear it.
So anyway, who knows what's going on out there? I think that we are surrounded by electromagnetic radiation.
Right, right.
And some of it just goes through us and doesn't do anything. But a lot of us, if it's the right frequency, it can alter DNA.
Yeah, yeah. And they've done studies, we mentioned this before, studies that show that fluorescent lighting will... which is a form of EM radiation,
mm-hmm.
can, what do they call it, a genotoxic effect?
Yes,
on
exactly,
DNA.
And it's enhanced when you have coffee.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
There you go.
Think about
Didn't
that.
Didn't say anything about donuts.
Go to the office next on Monday. Speaking of work, there are fewer of us in the United States at work in the month of June than there was the month before. Another 500,000 roughly lost their jobs during June. Unemployment rate... roughly 9.5%, but of course that's the newly recalculated rate. They changed how they figured that number a couple of times over the last 20 years. If you look at the number of discouraged workers and workers who are working less than they would want, you know, underemployed, that number is actually, according to shadowstats.com, about 21% now.
Ew.
So, yeah, not good times.
That's frightening.
In the United States. It really is. The only sector of the economy that has really been holding its own over the last 6 months or so has been a number of government employees. Surprise, surprise. But for the most part, there are fewer of us working. And those of us who are working, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, are working fewer hours per week. The average number of hours worked now by those employed is down to 33 hours a week.
33, eh?
33, yeah. Yeah. And
well, you'll be glad to know this then.
Yes.
With all of the people out of work and, you know, probably a little stressed,
mm-hmm.
well, in Arizona, they're going to help those folks out by letting them take their guns into the bars. Guns in bars bill goes to the governor. Arizona bar and restaurant owners are waiting to see if Governor Jan Brewer signs the bill that would allow law-abiding citizens to carry a gun into a restaurant or a bar.
Can they smoke in those bars?
No, heavens no. You can't smoke in a bar, but you can bring your gun in.
Yeah, I wonder about that, because I know in Missouri, you could carry a concealed weapon if you passed the test.
Yeah.
You know, and you took the training and were certified.
And I imagine you can take them into restaurants there, too.
I
think in Missouri, they had to post, there were certain places you couldn't take them, but
you had to post the sign, I think.
Yeah.
And there were certain places where you couldn't take. You couldn't take them to like a school or a sports stadium. But I don't know about bars and restaurants. But I always thought that was kind of odd. You know, Columbia, Missouri was a college town, so it was a little to the left of where most of the state of Missouri was. And Missouri banned smoking in bars and restaurants.
I think that town had more colleges per capita than any town I've ever lived in.
It did, yeah. Besides that, it had
six colleges.
Columbia and Stevens and, you know, a couple of other, William Woods.
Yeah.
And of course, Mizzou. But the penalty for being caught smoking at a restaurant in Columbia was more severe than the penalty for being caught smoking marijuana out on the street. Literally,
you
it was.
You light up and everybody pulls their guns on you. Put that out.
Yeah. I think that would have been legal in the state of Missouri. Yeah, so,
oh,
anyway.
Good heavens. Well, this is a total left turn. Total left
yep.
turn. Remember how we talked about Operation Blackjack?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, that has been supposedly debunked as being just, oh, nothing but artistic endeavor and mm-hmm. ha ha. It's part of this repeated meme, this notion of let's put some information out there and just see how people react, almost like we're a bunch of guinea pigs mm-hmm. to see how, well, here's another one we're supposed to be feeding on, folks. It's been at the Telegraph now for over a week, and I've not mentioned it until now because I kind of wanted to see if they were going to change it, but I haven't seen it updated in any way. There are 13 images. It's called the Enigma of Case Destiny, and it's all about, supposedly starts out in 1997, I think. Yeah, it's called, the first thing you see is the Aquarius file, and it's supposed to be eyes only, top secret, POTUS, which is President of the United mm-hmm. States, / MJ. I'm not really sure if that's the supposedly the initials of the President of the United States. I don't know how the military memo jargon works when it's / I know in a real memo mm-hmm. often you'll have / the person is going to or / the person's from. But anyway, it says POTUS, POTUS / MJ.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's Michael Jackson or Michael Jordan. But it says Aquarius, date is 05-16-07, briefing by deputy director. And you go to the next one and you find out in this series of slides that supposedly there are archaeological artifacts in a very deep cave in France.
Hmm.
And they all seem to relate to UFO visits.
Oh, well, okay. MJ would be the MJ-12, then Majestic 12.
That's another possibility.
Right.
Thank you for bringing that up, because I did consider that when I first saw it. Take a look through these. We're going to link to this series of artistic, cultural slides and let you decide what you think about them. Again, I think someone out there is just sort of laughing at us, but the fact is, these things are being put out there oftentimes to see how we react,
mm-hmm.
to also inform us. We're going to tell you something, and hidden within this massive amount of information mm-hmm. is a clue.
You know, and skeptics would say, there's no way this could all be some sort of coordinated conspiracy to put... We're not saying that it is.
If we're just talking about humans, that's probably true.
That's exactly my point. We're not talking just about humans. We're wrestling against the powers and principalities who may be influencing those who are creating these pieces of entertainment.
Cultural art
without their knowledge. Some cases it may be with their knowledge. Don't know.
So do you think that if I created some cultural art that the Telegraph would put it up for me? I couldn't get the Shelbyville paper to put it up, much less the Telegraph in London.
Who owns the Telegraph in the UK?
Oh, gosh. I knew that because I looked it up a couple of weeks ago. It's a sort of a startup young guy. He sort of came out of nowhere.
Really?
Took it from, yeah, if I remember correctly. We'll have to take a look at that.
Richard Desmond? Is that the fellow's name?
Sort of rings
no,
a bell.
No. He owns another newspaper over in the UK.
If you live in the UK and you know more about it, which I know you do, than mm-hmm. we do, please send us a note.
Oh, okay. The guy who used to own the Telegraph, Conrad Black, was the Bilderberg member who kind of fell out of favor with the rest of that group.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think the Telegraph has been elevated, supposedly, out of its really kind of taken off.
Owned by David and Frederick Barclay.
Yes.
Barclay.
Yes.
So, yeah, ninth largest daily UK newspaper circulation. So...
Gee, I thought PID News was.
Only online. Yeah, because we're not
online.
In print. So,
what do you have next?
Not much. Just looking ahead to this weekend and the days ahead.
Well,
I
do want to mention
approach.
The vaccinations that are supposed to be going on over in Norway. I don't know if the story is true or not. There's an online paper. It's the only source right now, the only original source for the story, saying that 9 million doses of the H1N1 vaccine have been ordered for Norway citizens. But they've got a picture of Tamiflu up at the story. So
yeah.
Tamiflu isn't a vaccine. It's an antiviral. So right. I'm not really sure if they even know what they're writing about. But
we've seen that before, though, a couple of years ago.
I know.
When avian flu was more of a scare than it is right now. And Tamiflu was being pictured in stories where they were talking about a vaccine.
Yeah.
It's completely different.
Absolutely different. Also, H1N1 appears to be, if you look at Henry Nyman's recent posts at his site, recombinomics.com, you'll see that he is finding that H1N1, this new mm-hmm. AH1N1, is showing resistance to Tamiflu.
Mm-hmm. So it gets you coming or going.
Yeah, exactly.
No vaccine, no...
Well, I don't know about Norway. I'd like to find out more about it, but if it's similar to here, it's going to be a DNA-based vaccine.
Made just for you.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, we'll... keep our eyes open and as we get back to it next Monday. But again, we're looking ahead to a period of time that coincides to a 3.5-year period prior to 12/21 of 12. And the meme And interestingly, and this is getting back, you know, bringing this full circle back to 2012, the original release date for the film was supposed to be July 10 of 09,
which is exactly 1260 days.
Right. 3.5 years.
Yeah, depending on how you count it, it's either the 10th or the 11th.
Right. So they were going to put it out exactly 3.5 years prior to that date, but for whatever reason,
precisely 1260 days, which is the biblical count,
based on a 360 day year, correct?
Well, it actually says 1260 days.
Okay, right. See, I'd forgotten that fact. I'm glad you're here.
Well, there are three references to time. One is time times and half a time, mm-hmm. 3.5 years. Another one is 42 months, and another one is 1260 days.
Okay.
And it also gets into 1290 days and some other counts, but those have to do with other things that don't matter at this point in time. But essentially, if you backtrack the way many researchers are starting to lean, if you believe that 1221 of 012 is the midpoint, you back up 1260 days and you smack dab right into July 10th. Which is next Tuesday. Sorry, it's not next Tuesday. It's next, Saturday?
Friday. Yeah.
Friday.
Next Friday. Yeah,
because
tomorrow.
Friday.
Right.
But some people are starting to sort of worry about 7-7. Again, over in England, back in 05, they had the 7-7 bombings.
Right, right.
Michael Jackson is being buried on July 7th.
Yeah.
A casket.
Oh, yeah.
Made in Batesville, Indiana. Too far from here. It's one of your customers.
Actually, Batesville Casket Company, based out of Batesville, Indiana, one of the largest manufacturers of caskets in the country, is just down the highway, down I-74 towards Cincinnati. And they are a customer of ours. They buy some steel from us and some aluminum, and so I guess there's going to be a little bit of me there in there.
Well, of course, he was born in Indiana, but Batesville Casket Company is a big manufacturer of caskets. We talked about Michael Jackson and the whole Golden Child and the meme of King Tut and all of that stuff. Well, interestingly enough, the casket style is called the Prometheus. It's covered in 14-karat gold.
Uh-huh.
And it has a flame-stitched blue lining.
Yeah, the Prometheus, the light bringer who brought illumination and knowledge to mankind.
Exactly.
Yeah, and was punished for it by.
Why? Yes.
Yeah. Another manifestation. Another. Yeah.
Another meme.
Well, so during the 3-day weekend. Again, no show tomorrow evening, but there will be a View from the Bunker interview Sunday evening. That will be Jason Offutt, the author of Darkness Walks, The Shadow People Among Us.
There's another Missouri connection.
Yeah. That's another meme. Yeah. So anyway.
Meme.
A well-written book and... again, an interesting look at all sides of the topic. He interviewed religious scholars from a variety of faiths, Christian, Hindu, Muslim, Buddhist, Native American, to get their takes on what these things might be. He talked with scientists to get, the input of psychologists and physicists as to what these things might be. And so it's really an interesting read, and he doesn't put forward a specific agenda as to what these shadow people are, only that many people report seeing them. There's no natural explanation for them. And most interestingly, the conclusion that if you see these things, about the best you can hope for in an encounter is that they don't notice you and leave you alone.
Yeah,
so that'll be coming up Sunday night, and that'll be part of the PID radio feed. So if you're subscribing via iTunes or through the website, you'll find the show popping up in your MP3 player automatically.
Automatically.
Yeah. Email address if you want to send us a note or an idea for a story is Like Kevin did, by the way, on that story about the electronically brain zapping thing. So thank you, Kevin. Radio@peeringintodarkness.com. And if you want to discuss these with other people, look for the link at PIDradio.com to the Piercing the Darkness forum.
I also, before we, well, I'll go ahead and mention it. Silly me. I'll just tell you, we're on Facebook, like it or not. We're also Twitter. But I do want to take this moment to thank, I feel like, what's her name in that HLN show, the one with the blonde hair. The lawyer who does the show.
Nancy Grace.
Nancy Grace. She goes from talking, hey, no, you're wrong. And I just want to stop and thank so-and-so. No, we really do want to say thank you. We have received, Lord love you and thank you, praise God, because we've received quite a number of people who, and you've helped us out. We want to thank David R. We're not going to say your last names because we don't have permission to do that, but we want to thank David R., Aaron U., Snark.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's, you can guess who that is.
Yeah.
Pam M., and Denise and Frederick, who for the second time, they have sent us a wonderful bit of help, support for the Bandwidth Fund. And we just want to tell you, when we get these monies, they go into a special fund.
Mm-hmm.
If you send us a check to our house, we automatically put it into this fund, which is actually in the PayPal account. And all of that pays for the bandwidth. We've got everything set up so it automatically comes out.
Automatically debits, right.
And as long as there's money in there, everything will continue long after we're gone. So we keep it as full as we possibly can.
Right. The hosting account and the renewals on the domains.
Exactly.
And things like that. So that should we just suddenly be taken out of this world, those websites will be there as kind of a guidepost for those who are still able to see them.
So, exactly. So thank you
for that.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And if for some reason you have sent us a donation and we have not thanked you on the air because we just recently started doing this, it occurred to us that this is really, you know, the very least we can do is publicly acknowledge what you have done privately.
Right.
And again, trying not to embarrass you, but
just letting you know that
you
we really
much.
Appreciate
we really,
it.
We really, really do.
Yeah.
If we have not acknowledged you and thanked you on the air and you've given us something, please let us know.
Mm-hmm.
And we will happily make sure we do that next time. And next time will be Monday.
That's right. And until then, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Have a wonderful weekend and safe time celebrating the 4th. Bye-bye, everybody.
On demand.
This is PID Radio.